Well, it's page 555 in the Church Bible, and probably the most famous psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. The message is so simple today that I'm going to make an outrageous claim. I'm going to claim that you are going to remember this message this evening. You'll still remember it this evening. If you're anything like me, by the evening, often it's gone. Not only you remember it this evening, you'll remember it next week. I dare to claim you'll remember it in a month's time, and I even dare to claim you will remember it in a year's time. So you see, this is an outrageous claim, isn't it? That you're going to remember this message this morning. I'm confident of that for two simple reasons. One is that we all carry around with us something by which we can remember this message this morning. And the second reason is, it's only five words long. So that's easy, isn't it? The explanation will take a bit longer, but the message, the core of the message itself, is actually only five words long. Five words about the greatest person in all the world. Five words which, no matter what comes our way in life, if they are true of us, will give us the faith, the hope, the confidence that Paul prayed of for the nation earlier on. Five words that, if we can say from our heart, when our last hours come here on this earth, will mean that our death will be the beginning of but a new existence, a new world. Five words that we can and must say whatever age we are. These five words were first spoken 2,500 years ago by a king, a famous king, King David, a man who was a bit of a pop star in his day, and these five words are taken from his most famous hit. And they've been sung by successive generations ever since. And today, around the world, thousands, tens of thousands of people will either recite or sing this song. These five words. They've been a source of huge, immense comfort to millions of people down through the centuries. So, what are they? And what is it that we carry around with us that will help us to remember them? Well, what is it we carry around with us that will help us to remember them? Any thoughts? The phone, that's a good idea. That's a very 21st century answer. Yes, but this could even go 100 years earlier. We've all got something. We've actually got two of these. Steve is waving one of them at me. It's our hand. Our hand. One hand. We only need one hand for this. And the five words are, of course, the Lord is my shepherd. There you are. It's guaranteed, isn't it? You are going to remember this. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, as you know, is the most famous and familiar of all the songs, all the psalms that King David wrote. We may have been taught it as a child. We've probably recited it dozens, if not hundreds of times since. But it's famous for one particular reason. It takes us to the very heart and core of what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be a follower of Jesus, what it is to have a personal relationship with the God who made us and knit us together in our mother's womb. It tells us not only about David's relationship with the Lord is my shepherd, said David, it tells us about the relationship of every true Christian with the Lord. So let's think about these five words just for a few minutes together. Let's impress them upon us. It begins, the Lord, the Lord. Now, if you notice in your Bible, Lord here is spelled in capitals. And that's because in the Hebrew language, there are many names for God. But this was his special name. It translates Yahweh. That's what it is in the Hebrew. It's the name by which God was to be known by his people. His translation into English is rather odd. It simply means, I am who I am. Somebody said to you, what's your name? I am who I am. It's kind of slight slightly odd, slightly mysterious feel to that, isn't it? But basically, saying, I am eternal, and I am the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am unchanging in my nature. I am who I am. He has always been, he always will be. He is ever present, he is eternal. The same yesterday, today, forever. I am who I am. In the Bible, when God wants to show not only who he is, but what he's about in the world, he uses this name. It recurs time and time again through the Old Testament to impress upon God's people, this is what I am about. So when, in that incident back in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses is told to go to the incarcerated people of God in slavery there in Egypt, he says to the Lord, who shall I say has sent me? You tell them, Moses, that Yahweh has sent you. I am who I am. I'm the ever-present God, so I will be with you. I will be with them. I will be the one who will rescue them from captivity. I am. And whether it's Abraham, whether it's Isaac, whether it's Jacob, time and time again, God, the Lord, comes to them and says, I am Yahweh. You see, when God calls, in this instance, a nation into relationship with himself, the Israelites, he brings them into a special relationship, and he gives them a personal name. It's a bit like, if you could imagine, Queen Elizabeth coming here this morning. And she comes along and she settles on the front row here at the side next to Paul. And she says to him, Paul, I've heard all about you. In spite of that, I'm going to be your friend. And you can call me Elizabeth. Wow, that would be something, wouldn't it? It would be all over Twitter before you knew it, wouldn't it? If a king, a queen, a monarch comes in and says, you don't simply call me by my official titles, you call me by my personal name. Now that's what's going on when the Lord comes to the Israelites and says, this is who I am, and I'm calling you into a special relationship with me, and you can call me and be known by my special name. And here in Psalm 23, you see, David is celebrating something 10,000 times more wonderful than being known by a human monarch. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's over the moon about it, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is the one who is shepherding his life. He's the one who's called him into relationship. The God who makes promises, the God who keeps those promises, who is absolutely trustworthy, who never changes. I am who I am. I call you to me, David. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He will be with me, verse 2, when the sun is shining, when all is well in the world, when life is like a green pasture, life is peaceful, and there are quiet waters. Then he comes to refresh my soul and bless me. But then David says, verse 3, also, he guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's a holy God who calls me to follow his holy way. But he's also the God who's with me in the dark times, says David. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When the storm clouds gather and I find myself walking into dark, dark places, when life is tough, even there, especially there, the Lord is with me. That was David's experience. And David, like most followers of the Lord, was to discover that it was in the darkest times that he found out most about the trustworthiness of this God and what it meant to have the Lord as his shepherd. So this is the Lord who David celebrates and sings about. The Lord, he says. He is this up-close and personal God who cares about his people. Now, do you know that God? You see, the God of the Bible is not the God that often we imagine and conjure up in our imaginations. No, no, no. This is the God who reveals himself as I am who I am, the eternal God, the one who fashioned you and I together in our mother's womb, the God who numbers all our days, who declares the day when we're going to be born and the day when we're going to die. Such is his power, such is his immensity. But then David says a wonderful thing. The Lord, this Lord, is my shepherd. My shepherd. My shepherd. Now, for us townies, it's quite hard, isn't it, to think about shepherds without going a bit fuzzy and thinking about woolly sheep and cozy and nice and so on. And if we go in the country, there's not too many shepherds around today for us to see. So it's quite possible that shepherd conjures up for us something a little bit soft and cuddly, or if not, a kind of country yokel, oh-ar, kind of thought. But that's a long way off of what the Bible has in mind when it talks about shepherd. Better to have in mind a man called Davy Jones. Now, when I was a boy, my mother was Welsh, real Welsh, Welsh-speaking Welsh, came from a farm near Aberystwyth. And on summer holidays, I would be taken back there year after year. Davy Jones was the local shepherd. And he was not soft and cuddly. He was rugged and weather-beaten. He had hands, the fingers of which were the size of sausages. I don't mean chipolata sausages. I mean big, fat pork sausages. He was a big guy, a strong guy, with these massive hands. And at an appointed time, during while I was there, Davy Jones would be called upon to come and shear the sheep. So the day would come, he'd come, and he'd have with him his two sheepdogs. Now, they were called Floss and Candy. I'll give you all this trivia from my childhood because it does have an important point later on from the Bible. But I only just the other day realized why they were Floss and Candy. It's Candy Floss in reverse. And I, you know, it's taken me 70 years to work that one out. So he had these two sheepdogs who would get sent up to the upper fields and round up the sheep and bring them down to the pens. And then Davy would set about his work. He would dip them, and then with enormous hands, he would get hold of them one by one and inspect them before he sheared them and sent them off on their way. He was incredibly strong. If you've ever tried to hold a sheep, you will know how strong you have to be. But I noticed this, and I always remembered this as a child. In the immensity of his strength to this little boy was this gentleness and this care for the sheep. He inspected them. He looked to see if they were diseased. He looked to see if they were injured. He was a tough man, but he was a tender man. Now that's near the biblical picture of shepherd. It's toughness and tenderness combined together. Right from the start, you see, the Lord has been a shepherd for his people. Even when we go right back to Genesis, and even as they're cast out of the Garden of Eden, God commits to protecting them and providing for them. And this whole imagery of God being the shepherd of his people is right there all the way through the Old Testament. It's one of the favorite names and titles by which God is known. Because so often, you see, his people went astray. Time and time again, though he blessed them, and in their blessing they would often have a short time when things were well and they obeyed him and so on, sooner or later, like sheep, they started to go astray. But as we read in Ezekiel, he knew all this was coming, and time again he promises that he will not abandon them. In fact, he will go seeking them. And he will go rescuing them, and he will bring them back from their scattered place around the nations to be his people. And in the unfolding story of the Bible, it's one of God's shepherding care for his people. He rescues them from captivity in Egypt. He delivers them into the promised land. And in the unfolding history of the Israelites, so time and time again, they go astray. And one occasion they have to go into exile. Nevertheless, he shepherds them back. And in the fullness of time, when he comes in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, stands up and says, I am the good shepherd, and I've come to lay down my life for my sheep. So this whole notion of God being a shepherd, it's the very core and heart of what God is about in the world, you see. The truth is, it's not just the Israelites who mess up and go astray, is it? We all do. In fact, Isaiah reminds us in that glorious book of his prophecy, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all, like sheep, have followed the crowd. That's what sheep do, isn't it? We all are so taken up with what's under our nose that we stray from the place of safety and security. But the Lord laid on him, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You see, we're all in that perilous state. Every single human being, by nature, we go our own way. We don't want God to rule over our life. We don't want him to be our shepherd. Oh, yeah, we want the blessings. We want his smile upon us. We want the good gifts that he sends. But we don't want him saying what's best for us. We don't want him directing our life in paths of righteousness. Because we want to be the shepherd. We want to be God. And we all like it. No matter what background we come from, whatever nationality we are, this is the human plight. This is the human condition. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Every single one of us. David, who gave us this wonderful psalm, was no different than us. He knew that full well, didn't he? As king of Israel, he was meant to be the shepherd, the under-shepherd, as it was, of the Israelites. And he did that very well for a number of years. But then there came a time when the army was away and he was on his rooftop, being in a palace, he overlooked his city of Jerusalem. He spotted this beautiful woman about to take a bath. He sends for her. He takes her to his bed. When she becomes pregnant, he calls her husband back from the battlefield. Uriah. He wants Uriah to sleep with his wife, so it looks like Uriah will have got her pregnant. Uriah won't pay the game. He refuses to do so. He's got an idea of what's happened. So David arranges for Uriah, one of his best generals, one of his closest friends, one of his greatest supporters. Can you imagine this? He arranges his murder. He arranges for the army to leave him stranded on the front line of the battle so that he's overcome by the enemy and killed. This is the man who wrote this psalm. This is the man, you see, who, when he's exposed by the prophet Nathan a year or so later, when his adultery and murder is brought to light, his response is, Lord, against you and you alone have I done this evil in your sight. He knew all the blessings of God. He was one of the great ones in Israel. But he too went astray. You see, we are all fallen human beings with the propensity for evil and for selfishness and for pride and for murder and adultery. The seeds are all there within us. This is the same man who's able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. So you see, when David makes this statement, he has in mind the only person who can retrieve him and bring him back into fellowship with him and forgive him his sin. A restored relationship in spite of David's wickedness. And if we know ourselves, you see, we're in the same boat. Because Jesus raises the bar, doesn't he, when he comes? And we may say, well, I've never committed adultery. Okay, guys, you've never lusted after a girl? Well, that's a bit different, isn't it? Yeah, have you done that, says Jesus? It's exactly the same. Well, I've never killed anybody. You never had a, I could kill them thought about that person? I could really wish them evil. I hope they fall under a bus. I'm so annoyed with them. That's what my heart's really like. Wow, that is scary, isn't it? You see, knowing the Lord as your shepherd is not a soft, cuddly thing. It's a self-awareness brought about by the gospel, by the Spirit of God, that enables us to see the perilous place we're in, but the wonder and majesty of God's love for us. So David says, the Lord shepherd. But then that's wonderful, wonderful two little words in between. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David didn't know this when he wrote this lovely psalm, but hundreds of years later, the Lord Jesus Christ would come and lay down his life on this rescue mission. Psalm 22 tells us all about it. Psalm 24 tells us what happens after when the king is exalted. But here's the Lord who comes to lay down his life. The shepherd who alone can forgive. The shepherd who alone can retrieve us and restore us. The Lord is my shepherd. Martin Luther, that great reformer who started off the Reformation under God 500 years ago, said, Christianity is essentially a personal pronoun. It's to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Not the shepherd of the pastor, not the shepherd of other people, but my shepherd. I started by saying he can be, and I said he must be. You see, for all of us are on a journey. On that journey, if you don't know what's where you're going at the end of the journey, if you don't know what's on the way, if you don't know really what you're doing here on earth, the only description of you is that you're lost, isn't it? If I can't answer the big questions of life, who am I, what am I doing here, where am I going, is there anything after life, I'm really lost. Jesus says, I've come to shine the light. I've come to tell you, you needn't be lost. I've come to show you the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. I'm the good shepherd. You don't have to stay lost. You don't have to stay in the darkness, because Jesus has appeared and he stands before us and says, I want to be your shepherd. Your shepherd. The five most important words in the English language. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, is he? If you're here this morning, you're not yet a Christian, it's just wonderful that you're here. I don't believe you're here by chance. You see, I believe in a sovereign God, not only who made you, created you, knows the day of your birth, the day of your death, but the God who goes looking for people. And he's looking for you. And part of that looking for you has been to bring you here this morning. And he calls to you to call upon him as your king, your shepherd, your savior, that you might say, the Lord is my shepherd. You may say, but Trevor, there's so many things I don't understand yet, so many things. Those are genuine things. You'll go and ask somebody about those things. You'll say, look, show them me from the Bible. But for others of you here, you know it's the truth. But it's an inconvenient truth, because you know it's going to change your life. Yes, it will. It will change it for the better. Because there's nothing better than having the Lord as your shepherd. Because when the dark times come, when the storms come, when death invades, all the money in the world, all the experiences of life, all the comforts of this life, which are good things, good gifts from God, they won't stand you in any good stead. only having the Lord as your shepherd will. Why don't you call on him this morning? You can do it. It's as simple as that. Lord, forgive me. Lord, be my shepherd. Thank you for laying down your life for me at the cross. Thank you. It may be that you're a Christian here this morning. And in recent days, like David, you've fallen into a grievous sin. Nobody knows about it, only you and God. And it's troubling you, disturbs you, it frightens you should it come to light. I'm sure David was frightened that his adultery and murder would one day come to light. But remember how God dealt with him. He dealt with him, as the Bible says, as a father has pity upon his son, upon his children. So the Lord has pity upon those. Jesus goes out of his way to rescue people who've messed up. If that's you this morning, even as a Christian, you've done something that's really troubled you. The Lord doesn't stop being your shepherd. He is still there. He calls you back to himself. If that's you this morning, go back to him. Call upon him. For all of us, every single one of us in this room, there is nothing more important than we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Father, whatever situation we're in this morning, but especially if we don't know you yet, we ask, Lord, by your Spirit, you would enable us to utter in sincerity and truth those words, Lord, be my shepherd. Be my rescuer. Be my redeemer. Be the one who comes and brings me back to you. And for those of us who know you as our shepherd, Lord, may this simple, profound truth indeed be our guide all the way through life. We thank you for your two sheepdogs, for your goodness and love that will usher us into your presence. Help us to cling on to you, to cling on to your truth, no matter how hard life might be at the present. We thank you, Lord, that is in the darkness, that you reveal the beauty and the strength of the God who is I am. So, Lord, hear our cry this morning. Be amongst us, we pray. Do us good, we ask. Amen.